I was just thinking as I was coming across the road tonight that since I hadn't been here before, it would be maybe beneficial for to give some context of who I am and how I came to be here. Even tonight, how I am even in the Bible College, some of my background. And so for that reason, I'd maybe share a brief word of testimony. It's maybe quite dangerous because I have no notes with me, no thoughts, so I'll just have to seek the Lord. Well, so just to introduce myself to you tonight, and sometimes it's helpful for people to understand how the Lord calls, how the Lord works in people's lives. All sorts of people from all different backgrounds. I was born in a Christian home. And I was brought along to church and to Sunday school faithfully every week. There were six children in our family, three boys, three girls. We were taken along to a local Baptist church, and there we were brought up for many years. The Lord was faithful. I was blessed by parents who were saved, sat under a minister who was saved, Sunday school teachers who were saved, children's workers who had a testimony to the saving faith, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Every time we went to the church, we were told of our need of salvation. And what a blessing it was, even to be brought up in such an environment. And perhaps you're a young person here tonight, and maybe as you're here, you're maybe thinking you'd rather be somewhere else, or maybe you're happy to be here, we trust that you are. But maybe you'd rather be somewhere else, maybe you look at your upbringing and say to myself, oh, I wish I could just be a certain age and I could do my own thing. Never despise the privilege of what it is I've been brought up in a Christian home. It was only as I grew later on in years of my life that I realised how blessed that I was to be brought up in the things of God, the knowledge of Him. Remember Christmas morning, 1989, aged 8, and I wakened. There was no thought of presents, no thought of anything else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse was going round in my mind that had been taught so faithfully. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I just sensed my need of a Saviour that day. I realised I was under deep conviction that day. And I thought of my parents who were saved. At that stage, all my siblings were saved. And I knew they would be going to heaven. If they died and left this scene of time, where would I be? I knew that day I'd be in hell for all eternity. And that day we cried on to the Lord and received Him by faith. As a child of 8 years of age. And that's why I love to see boys and girls and young people even in the meetings. I think of my own daughter at 3 years of age, how she came in one day and down into her daddy in the office and she says, "Daddy, I want to get saved." You know, boys and girls can be saved. Children can be saved. Young people can be saved. Older folks can be saved. You know, when you come, give your heart and life to Christ. I went on in school, went to primary school, brought up there in South Armagh, as our brother said. I suppose I would come up through a time when it wasn't much fun to live there, really. And in that period of time, it was quite normal for us growing up to have a helicopter land in the field beside you most days with a squadron of soldiers jumping out. And, oh, it was such a, to us, it was nearly like a miracle. They were just 1 minute, now you see them, and now you don't. They just disappeared. And that was life for us. And that for us was normal. And it's only looking back now, we realise we were really living in the middle of a war zone. And that's how it was. That was what it was growing up there in the farm in South Armagh. Went to primary school, continued on, going to church, involved in the work of God. As time went on, as sadly as the case in many places, and as happens down through church history, our church seemed to fall away from the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Word. And the Lord in His mercy drew us even to become part of the fellowship there in Mullaghlass. I see our brother Stanley and sister Lila here tonight when we joined Mullaghlass. Stanley was my elder there. And it was a blessing to be welcomed in to the church there in Mullet Lass, and we went from strength to strength. We were encouraged there. We were nurtured in the things of God, taught faithfully from the Word of God. You know, I was busy working at home. I was a farmer. I then finished school and went home to farm. And I never had any intention ever of standing up here. And yes, I did everything I was asked to do. And so should we all. We should be busy workers. We should be doing what we can to serve the Lord. We should be part of the work of God. We should be part of the church family. We should be at the prayer meeting if we have opportunity to help out in the children's meeting or the Sunday school. There's a role for us to play. Drive a church bus, perhaps. And I was happy doing any of those things. I had no desire to stand here tonight in front of you. I was quite happy sitting where you are tonight. Never thought of any special gifts or talents to be here. Never desired it for myself yet in November 2010, the Lord really challenged me. Matthew 6, Dr. Kearns was the visiting preacher. He had spent most of the day preaching in Matthew 6. He came back again in the evening and he was giving his personal word of testimony. He spoke on Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you know, I loved everything that I was doing. I loved my business. I loved my farm, and you know, every Monday morning was a new project. What we were going to do, what we were going to buy, what we were going to build. Just moving on. And you know, all these things, there's nothing wrong with it. We're told to work. We're told to provide for our families. We're told to be successful. The Lord's work needs business people to keep their missionaries on the field. There's nothing wrong with it. But the Lord has something more for me. And that's where my heart was. That's where my heart was there in the farm. Then during the course of the meeting that night, Dr. Kearns brought again through the words of Corinthians of Paul there. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have my reward. And you know, the Lord just challenged me that night in a way that like never before. Dr. Kearns, I'm rushing through this because this will go on all night. And I'm trying to pick out the important facts. And I went in to speak to Dr. Kearns after the meeting, challenged and burdened about what I had heard and the weight of this challenge the Lord had brought before me. And he said, you know, go home and pray that you can do nothing else. If this is the Lord really speaking to you, calling you to go into it. Prepare yourself for mission work, ministry, whatever it is. But I have to be honest, friends, tonight. I went home and prayed to the Lord, I'll do anything else. You see, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't desire to be a missionary. Yes, I'm more than happy to support our minister, to pray for him, encourage him, more than happy to even visit a mission field occasionally. Pray for our missionaries, support them financially, and work away in my comfort zone. I had no desire to be here doing these things. But yet as time went on, the Lord unfolded his plan. It took a number of years for all things to come to fruition. For a period of time, I nearly felt as if I had misjudged the circumstances. I thought as time went on, I prepared to go into the college and to set things in order as regard to the farm. We had no other brothers or sisters to take things over. So it was a long and a drawn out period of time before things actually fell into place. In fact, it was almost 7 years before I entered into the college until coming up to the end of that period of time. I remember reading my daily reading one morning. It was Habakkuk chapter 3. And the last three verses, particularly the last part of verse 17. And we read there, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And you know, men and women, there's many things about our house, but there's plenty of stalls. The stalls, There could have been all up on 600 stalls, 600 cubicle stalls, call them what you will, for animals. And they were full. There was cattle everywhere. And the Lord challenged me that day, it's coming to an end. I'm bringing it all together. I'm going to take you where I have called you to go. And as time went on then, over a period of time, the animals were sold. And I remember the day before the auction, our own minister arrived at the door. And I was just down the yard preparing things along with my father. And it was hard times, it was difficult times. Those of you of any connection with farming life and farming background, you know the sentimental ties that there are there. And I remember the minister arriving and he says, "How are you? How's things going?" and so on. I remember I says, "Just a moment, we'll come up and we'll have a cup of tea." We headed up into the kitchen, he followed me, and I don't know what else he said that day. Yes, when we went in, he read and he prayed. He says, "You know, Simon, though the stalls will be empty, you'll still be looked after. The Lord's dealing with all things. He's bringing all things together after the counsel of his own will." And again, this verse of scripture was brought before me. I remember then we'll push on ahead to the first semester, as it were, in college. We got to the Christmas period, and I says, "Lord, what have I done? What have I done? Who am I trying to fool? What has just happened here? I'm 36 years of age. I've been out of school for almost 20 years. And whoever thought that I could ever go through this college? Or how could I ever cope?" I remember going, I was part of the youth fellowship. So we remember it was an annual praise service. And we were there and I was deflated. I just was coming into the exams and it was tough. I was finding it tough. And I remember going in with the youth fellowship. We sat down then with our own group there in the Armagh Church. And I remember Mr. McMillan asked us to come up and to open in prayer. And I didn't even know how I was going to do it. I felt so deflated and so cast down in my own mind. I didn't even know whether I was coming or going. Our brother then, Ray Carscadden, who's now the Reverend Carscadden there in Corrigarry, was preaching that night. What did he do again? Opened up Habakkuk chapter 3 in the last three verses. "There shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places." So I stand before you tonight because this is where the Lord would have me to be. Not because of any good in me or anything else, but this is where the Lord has brought us. We're thankful for the help that he has given us, even over this past number of years in college. In and of ourselves, we would not at all be able for the task. We're thankful for faithful men, faithful lecturers there in the college, bringing these wonderful doctrines before us, seeking to teach us, prepare us even for the days ahead.